again, I'll gut you like a fish.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Behold! Fish Boy!
This is my boomstick!
Red Rum.
Carpet Day!
We'll tear your soul apart.
Oh, yes. There will be blood.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
What the prime time, bitch?
Hail Rodma.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Three From Hell podcast. I am Sam, and today I'm joined by Dino and Melee and Justin.
Dino.
Plus Tony.
Well,
oh, yeah. We wish.
And we just watched VHS 2. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
what?
Mm-hmm. We did. That was a thing we did. We just did that. We're about to. VHS 2 was produced by Roxanne Benjamin, Gary Benkow, and Brad Miska. Cinematography done by a lot of people here. Taryn Anderson, Abdul Dermawan Habir, Stephen Scott, Seamus Tierney, and Jeff Wheaton. Editing done by Jason Eisner, Gareth Wu Evans, David Geis, Bob Rose, Eduardo Sanchez, and Adam Wingard. Music done by James Gaiman, Steve Moore, Arya Prayogi, and Fayar Yuskamal. Your production companies are Bloody Disgusting, The Collective, and Haxan Films. This film was distributed by Magnet Releasing with a soft release date at the Sundance Festival on January 19th, 2013, with a full release on July 12th, 2013, with a runtime of 92 minutes. We do not have a budget, but we do have a box office return of $805,574.
I hope that's good.
If you want to watch VHS 2, it is available for free on Tubi, the Roku channel, Vudu, and Plex. It is also available with a subscription through Peacock, Sling TV, and Amazon Prime, and Fubo TV. Or you can also rent or buy it wherever you rent or buy your movies. And you can watch it with us over at patreon.com/ You Damn Right.
What?
Mm-hmm. Well, without any further ado, fellas, what do you say we get into VHS 2? And that is the end of, it's all spoilers past year. All right, well, here we go. We get kicked off with Tape 49, which is directed and written by Simon Barrett. Tape 49 will be your wraparound story for this film. So we will be coming back to it later on and throughout the entire run-through of the film. So yeah, we start with Tape 49, and we have these two private investigators, Larry and his girlfriend Aisha. They have been asked to investigate the disappearance of a college student whose name is Kyle by his mother. They break into the house and then eventually break into the room, Kyle's room, where they find several VHS tapes and a laptop with footage from acts from a criminal gang, which would be the group of guys from the first VHS film. Mm-hmm. Aisha finds the laptop, or Aisha discovers that the laptop is still recording, and Larry tells her to watch the tapes while he inspects the house. Aisha puts the first tape in the VCR, and we get the first little appearance by a little freak standing in the shadows behind her.
Yeah.
And that first tape does contain Phase 1 clinical trials, which will be explained to us by one Justin Havoc.
Yes. A man, the patient, as it were, is sitting in a doctor's office, and the doctor is examining his camera. The camera is in the man's eye, which has been installed after a car accident took his sight from said eye. The doctor informs the patient that everything will be recorded and monitored for research purposes. The man, hesitant, asks if there's any way to turn that off. Doctor says no. On his way out of the clinic, the man sees a woman who stares at him intently as she passes. After returning home, the patient is playing video games and he gets up for tea. He returns to find his game controller far from where he had left it. He hears a crash and finds his tea kettle on the floor. Later, he sees what appears to be the body, or a body, lying beneath the sheet of his bed. He pulls away the sheets, but no one is there. He then finds himself face to face with a bleeding man. He hides in the bathroom and, he hides in the bathroom, but when he returns, he sees the man again, this time with a young girl. He flees into the bathroom once again and is disturbed by repeated knocking on the door. The patient sleeps in the bathtub overnight. The next morning, everything is back to normal, though his room seems to be in more disarray than the night before. Later, the woman from the hospital visits him. She tells him that her name is Clarissa, and she was the recipient of a cochlear implant and began to sense things similar to what the patient has been experiencing after the operation. A man appears at the window, and the patient tries to alert her of his presence. But she says she knows he's there. He's her uncle who died several years ago. She urges him not to pay any attention to it, to them, and that the more attention they get, the stronger and more dangerous they become. She tells him to calm down and initiate sex as a distraction. The patient awakes to see Clarissa sleeping. When he again finds the young girl he saw before, he flees and finds that Clarissa is being drowned in the pool. He tries to help, but Clarissa drowns. He runs back inside to call 911, but is greeted by the dead man. Panicked, he grabs a straight razor and removes the eye from its socket. Afterwards, the intruders pick up the eye and shove it down the patient's throat as the eye camera stops filming. This segment was directed by Adam Wingard, written by Simon Barrett, VHS of VHS fame.
Well, Justin, what do you think of phase one clinical trials?
This is a pretty good start to a VHS movie. I don't think that the opening segments to the VHS movies really ever miss. I think now that we're out of the gate in terms of the first movie, it's going to be hard to not start to critique things early on. I don't have anything super derogatory to say about this segment necessarily. It's a good segment. It's just not one of my favorites. It's fine. I gave this an 8.
Okay. I'll just get mine out of the way because Justin said the exact same shit that I was also going to say about this one. Correct. It's fine. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing great about it. Good opener, gets the foot in the door, gets your feet wet, and I gave it an 8.5. Dino.
Yeah, I mean, very much what you've described. It's standard as fuck, really. It's your standard form of found footage, and honestly, if you've seen horror films in the 2000s, you would very, very much know, like, oh, they can't see it, but the others can, and everything else. Like, it's very much the formula, and no amount of super hot alt chicks can change that, pal. I'm sorry. Okay, it was a nice distraction. It was great. It was awesome. But you know what? I have my principles. Okay, I will not boost the ratings up just because of that one moment. It could have went a little longer, but I'm going to go ahead and give this 77 regular eyeballs and one artificial eyeball to start.
Melee translate?
7.7.
Yep.
7.7. Okay. And Melee, what did you think about phase one clinical trials?
Mm-hmm. Well, as everyone else has said, this is pretty much like your standard blueprint of, found footage. And to be quite honest, the biggest crime of this is that it has to follow pretty much every single other segment of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it probably has the lowest rating for me at a 7. I think it has an interesting premise of the eye, being able to see that others can't. But at the end of the day, they didn't really do much except saying, oh my God, I can't see, but they can, blah, blah, blah. Or I can see, they can't. And, you know, hot chick is hot, but not much else can be said about it. It's just, it's like watching a Seth Rollins match. It's just there. So a nice all 7 right. out of 10.
Okay, okay. I can respect it. I feel like we were all on the same wavelength with that one.
The only thing I will go ahead and give it additional credit for is the fact that Adam Wingard himself had to be the protagonist in the segment, because I believe what happened was that the original actor or something, there was some sort of scheduling conflicts. He dropped out.
I can't remember the guy's name, but he was working on Angry Video Game Nerd, the movie.
Something fucking weird.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but yeah, he was working on that.
But Adam Wingard had to step in and actually play the...
He did a good job.
The character.
Yeah.
Oh, also, for some reason, the Wikipedia article says his name is Herman Middleton. But the IMDb review, or like IMDb plot synopsis for the segment didn't. So there's that as well.
Yeah. Just call him whatever you want to call him. The guy with the fake eye. Well, yeah, so we leave clinical trials. We get back into tape 49, where Aisha is kind of questioning the legitimacy of the tapes with Larry. Larry tells Aisha to continue watching the tapes while Kyle's recording on the laptop explains that the tapes must be watched in a proper sequence to quote-unquote affect you. Aisha fails to notice the figure from earlier in the hallway behind her as she puts another tape into the VCR, and that tape is A Ride in the Park, which is presented by Melee Hellbot.
Mm-hmm. Directed by Eduardo Sanchez and Greg Hale, who also made the Blair Witch Project, so, you know, something to keep in mind. Written by Jamie Nash. Shortly after answering a call from his girlfriend Ami, cyclist Mike affixes a camera to his helmet and goes on a bike ride through the woods with a cabin in the woods of a local park. He abruptly comes across a terrified, blood-covered woman, not from Smile 2, who begs him to help her boyfriend before she vomits blood. Mike sees several zombies approaching them until the woman suddenly turns into a zombie herself. She bites Mike on the throat before he kills her. Mike staggers through the woods, which there's a cabin, heavily bleeding. He also vomits blood and dies. Finn? Question mark? No. Two bikers, a man and a woman, come across him and call emergency service. But Mike reanimates, kills the man, and bites the woman before she runs off into the woods, which there's a cabin in the woods. The now zombified woman returns before she and Mike begin eating the man until he reanimates. The three zombies invade a young girl's birthday party and kill several people, some of whom also reanimate. Mike chases a father and his daughter before he gets stabbed in the eye with a fork. Ouchie. As Mike sees his reflection in a window, a man with a shotgun is overwhelmed and eaten by the zombies. Mike is hit by a truck and, as he falls, accidentally pocket dials Amy. Upon hearing her voice, Mike enters into a semi-conscious state until he regains his humanity. He takes the shotgun and commits suicide to avoid infecting anyone else as the footage ends. Finn, and for the cast of this little short, Jay Saunders as the biker, Bette Cassette as Screaming Girl, Dave Coyne as Good Samaritan Guy, Wendy Donegan as Good Samaritan Girl, The Von Brookshire as Biker's Girlfriend. And those are your main characters for this story.
Justin, what did you think of A Ride in the Park?
I'm not going to stay on this very long. There are some interesting things that happen in this that I do enjoy about it, considering it is a zombie thing and I am still fucking burnt out on zombie bullshit. Fuck you, Walking Dead. But the fact that the zombie being sentient enough to bite himself and then be like, oh, I can't eat myself, I'm gross, and then also essentially commit suicide are both very interesting takes on being a zombie. So those are big ups to it. The gore is good. I like the concept, and it doesn't overstay its welcome, so it also gets an 8.
All right, let me tell you how it really is real quick. What a fucking cool little premise of a zombie little story from the POV of the zombie.
Little.
The whole buildup of it was really cool. The fucking ripping the dude's entrails out and then his girlfriend coming and also eating his fucking insides. And then him sitting up and staring them both down and then just kind of getting up and walking off. Whoa. And this dude's walking around with his fucking insides just hanging out for the rest of the short. Really cool. I thought that was really cool. Them showing up and ruining this kid's birthday party. Hilarious and very morbid all at the same time. We get something that like only a few like zombie films have had the courage to go to, which is self-awareness with the original guy. I can't remember his name originally. It was Mike, where he sees this reflection in the window of the van after the kids and the dad kind of were trying to get away. He sees his reflection and sees what he's become. And that kind of, you know, starts planting the seeds, but this is a short, so there's not, you know, it doesn't take too long for it to sprout, but planting the seeds for, like, what eventually happens. And then he, you know, gets the phone call from his girlfriend and hears his girlfriend's voice, and he knows he can't go back to the life he was living not even 15 minutes ago, and just fucking kills himself. It's such a crazy, like, cool route to take it when doing something with zombies, because you can get very lazy when you do anything zombie related. This is one of my favorites in this film. This is one of my favorites in the franchise, and I give it a 10. Dino.
See. I'll just go real quick on this one. I'm just going to go ahead and say it, because really it was the start of the boom, the godfathers of the found footage fucking genre, like the booming base of it, one of making this, honestly, a fresh enough take on a very tired genre. I totally agree. Zombies are done to death. We're undead. Walking Dead fucking sucked, but they had all the elements of things that we never really see in zombie films. Like you said, self-awareness, ruining a kid's birthday party, and showing like literally how fast an outbreak can get, to basically just seeing shit that we haven't seen in any previous and honestly like very few recent zombie films or whatever they want to like do a subgenre of them. I think it adds a little more to the sadness of it. The only other time that I really could pinpoint a type of situation where they're like, well, I can never go back to the life that I had, I need to kill myself, was Return of the Living Dead. And that was heartbreaking just as much as this one. And in less theatrical fashion, the story ends on still a very abrupt but sad note. So honestly, like, I'm not going to give it a full 10. I'm going to give it about an 8.4 birthday parties interrupted by zombies out of 44. So
I'm just going to call that an 8.4.
Okay.
I forgot to mention the end, like where he shoots himself with the shotgun. It blows his fucking GoPro camera off of his head.
Yeah.
That's such a cool, again, no pun intended, that's such a cool fucking shot. Like, that's so that's so cool.
Again, it shows that a tired genre can still be good if you put care into it.
Yeah, you just got to put it in the right hands.
Also, this came out in 2013, so this is when GoPros were still, like, expensive.
Yeah.
And they just fucking flung that thing off of this dude's head.
They fucking launched it. Like, it went flying.
They did not give a fuck.
Yeah. Melee, what did you think of A Ride in the Park?
Well, as it's already been said, this is a very tired trope of zombies.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a very unique spin. Well, not super unique, but a refreshing take about actually seeing the zombies' perspective for a change. You kind of see how the thing transferred to this person, and then you see how this person becomes part of the problem, and then they, in turn, transfer whatever they have into, you know, potential victims. So it's pretty cool seeing how that process works, because we always see from, like, the survivor side. So it's cool seeing it from the, quote-unquote, the antagonist for a change. I thought, like, this is all going to be weird, but I'm going to compare this to Doctor Who, specifically the Cybermen, especially for the early RTD things, because I had a very similar premise of, you know, people losing their humanity, but then once they're able to get part of it back, they kind of, you know, it fucks up their mind. So, like, the moment with the zombie seeing his reflection in the mirror was kind of similar to, like, a Cyberman seeing their reflection and then going in pain because of, what the fuck am I now? I can't go back to what I was before. So it was pretty cool seeing that. And, you know, just interrupting white people's birthday party is always a big plus for me. Mm-hmm. And as, you know, as everyone else said, it's a very tragic tale of the, you know, you can't really return back to normal. And, well, I always joke about this in, like, in these horror movies. Like, you know, if I'm in a fucked up situation, I might as well just kill myself. Like, there's nothing left for me.
Yeah.
Very cool ending. And, you know, the shooting the GoPro, that thing, the very beautiful shot. So, yeah, I'll give this an 8.1 out of 10.
8.1. Okay. Well, we leave A Ride in the Park and we go back to tape 49. Larry has re-entered Kyle's room with Aisha staring at the television in a vegetative state, and her nose is bleeding. She gets woken up from her trance and says she has a migraine. Larry leaves to go find some medicine for her, and Aisha, who is still, you know, looking pretty crazy style, puts another tape in the VCR while the figure from the background crawls out from the shadows and gets a little closer and watches her.
Hi.
As we get into Safe Haven, which was directed and written by Timo Chiotto and Gareth Hugh Evans. We have a film crew, including interviewer Malik, producer and Malik's fiance Lena, and Malik's best friend Adam, and cameraman Joni. They are infiltrating a cult in Indonesia to film a documentary about the mysterious activities that this cult is practicing with numerous hidden cameras throughout the building. They are invited inside the cult's compound by a woman known as Madam. The crew finds the walls adorned with bizarre symbols, schoolchildren in classrooms, and women dressed in white garments. They also meet and interview the cult's leader, a man referred to as Father. While they're doing the interview, Lena starts beatboxing and gets a little sick, and she goes downstairs to go to the bathroom. While Malik is searching for a spare camera battery, because he forgot to charge the fucking camera while they were doing this big interview, he overhears a private conversation between Adam and Lena, in which Lena reveals that she is pregnant with Adam's child. In the basement, Adam finds a woman with her womb carved out and strapped to a chair. She awakens, screams, and convulses, causing him to run away in fear. While Father is being interviewed by the cameraman Joni, a bell chimes and he suddenly announces that it is the time of reckoning over the intercom. After Joni repeatedly interrupts Father, ignoring Father's threats of not to interrupt him, Father cuts his throat with a box cutter while the cultists begin a mass suicide via poison and gunshots. Malik is shot dead by a cult member, and Lena is abducted by several men and women in surgical apparel. Adam attempts to rescue Lena until an explosion knocks him back, He watches a figure crawling across the ceiling and tries to enter the fiery room, only to be intercepted by Father, who was covered in blood with cult symbols inscribed all over his body. Father tells him the time has come, and he explodes crazy style all over the place, mm-hmm. with blood and guts flying everywhere. Adam walks through and finds Lena on an altar with the same symbol from that Father had on his body carved into her skin as well. He kills it, Madam, and the three other women who were holding Lena down on the table. As a creature erupts from Lena's body, which is resembling the Baphomet, and it tears out of her body. The cultists and the school children, including Malik and Joni, rise from the dead into these demonic zombie-like ghouls and attack Adam. He escapes, gets into his car, and drives off, only to be rammed into and flipped upside down by this Baphomet figure. Adam crawls out of the car before the creature, rises over the top of the car, looks down, and calls him Papa, revealing that it is, in fact, Adam's child.
It's me, Daddy.
Adam breaks down into hysterical laughter as the camera malfunctions and the footage ends. This is real fucking cinema peak.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got nothing more to say. Good fuck. Two of my favorite scenes in film of all time are in this short. The mass fucking gunshot suicide and the scene with Adam driving with the creature chasing him in the background is two of my favorite scenes in movies, and it just so happened to all be in the same short. Cult stuff, very cool to me, really like it, a lot of good gore in this. The way it's all led up, like the entire time you're watching this, it's very, very uncomfortable because it's obvious that something weird is happening, but you're just not entirely sure like what weird is happening, and then once it gets weird, it's 0 to 100 so fucking fast that you just cannot prepare yourself for it. Incredible. It's my favorite short in the entire franchise. 10 out of 10. Justin.
I feel like we started a different movie when this short starts. Like,
yeah.
This is the second time I've watched it.
For the record, there's a 45 minute cut of this short somewhere.
Oh, is there? That's fucking crazy.
Yes, there is.
That's fucking crazy. Oh my god. Yeah, it feels like a different movie when this short starts. Like, I have seen it exactly one time prior to this, and I still locked the fuck in and immediately was just like, yeah, this is peak. There's it's so good. It's, I don't know how this wasn't a feature, yeah. Honestly. I don't know how, like, obviously this is just the ending, but like, I don't know how we didn't get like a feature off of this. That's fucking crazy. 10, obviously. There's a reason why every goddamn list you see of the top VHS segments has this at number one.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's the best. Mm-hmm. Dino.
See. What has not been said enough. If you folks are very curious about the team that made this segment, it is the team behind the Raid films, as well as ABCs of Death as well. So they are not strangers to the genre of basically just insanity caught in very wonderful takes. I need to see that fucking extended cut of it immediately just to see what the tension is or if the insanity is just even more crazy. But nothing else can be said. As you said, it's your favorite of the franchise as well as this film. And honestly, I think that this one really defines what this entire franchise should be.
Yeah.
Should be.
Yeah.
And again, it is the peak of the franchise, in my personal opinion. Not to say that everything else is complete shit, but I really feel like this is the one that if nobody paid attention to the first one, everybody paid attention to this one, and this is the one that they talked about the most. So I'm not even going to dick around. I'm going to give it 10 complete reports of mass cult suicide out of 50.
Thank you.
Wow, well, such a low score.
All right.
Yeah.
Malay.
Yeah, pretty much everyone else said it. Like, it's an easy 10.
We go.
10.1. As Justina said, it almost feels like you're watching like a whole different film. Like, we call these like segments, but this one feels like an actual mini film. And like, there's a beginning, middle, and an end. And even the characters, I feel, compared to like most other like segments, actually feel kind of compelling in a way. They kind of have some layers to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it cuts between different perspectives is actually pretty cool, where in other segments, you kind of feel like you're kind of losing track when you kind of focus on something else and you want to focus on the main thing. In here, no matter where it's focusing, you're kind of invested on what's happening. So I thought that was pretty cool. If you ever wanted to know what short it means, that guy exploding, that's pretty much what it is. Oh, such a great effect.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the people shooting themselves. Also, beautiful shot.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not much more to say. Like, an easy 10.1 for me.
Oh, and you're actually like, giving it a 10.1.
Yes. It's almost like guy who has only seen Brain Dead. This reminds me so much of Brain Dead. Like, it's just so good.
Well, we leave Safe Haven and we go back to Tape 49 for a quick return. We see Larry has returned to Kyle's room with medicine for Aisha's migraine, only to find that she has killed herself with her gun. He is losing it. He looks down on the floor. He finds a tape with the word watch written in lipstick on it, lies beside her body before he picks up the tape and puts it into the VCR. And this is when we get Slumber Party Alien Abduction, which will be read to us by Dino Winwood.
See, so we cut in on some kids doing some horseplay in the middle of their driveway, and it shows that their parents are leaving for, I'm going to assume, the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the shit that they're doing when they're away, that's only something you do on the weekend, because if you're doing it in the nighttime where they're coming back, you're a fucking idiot. They are then interrupted by a car of visiting popular kids, I'm assuming, when it's jocks. It's just jocks. And they're punking on the kids. They fucking knock over their boombox and everything. Pretty much just everyone is obnoxious at this point. And the eldest sister comes in. She's like, hey, guys, yeah, let's go party and everything down by the pier. And, the kids are very upset that they have been picked on and decide to make things a little bit worse for themselves and fill up their squirt guns and water balloons, some of them filled with piss, if not all of them, and proceed to do a little scuba infiltration and swim up to the pier and spray the teenagers with their piss super soakers and water balloons. However, when swimming away from them, you get a quick glimpse at something swimming underneath the water that doesn't look like a kid. But that vision is obstructed by one of the tall jocks, very much chasing after the kids in the water, and gets sprayed in the mouth with this piss in the squirt guns.
What's up about that?
It is then that they very much get in trouble and punked a little bit of where it's almost a fight between the eldest of the littlest ones and the jock, because he's holding their camera very awkwardly for some reason. So we cut to later in the evening. Everybody's sleeping over, so I'm assuming the parents are gone. And they open the door to the sister's room, where she is proceeding to get into a little heavy petting with the Jacques. And for some reason, the door is open and unlocked, and they're filming one of their sisters, which is really fucking weird, white people. They decide to run in and scare them and record still, but scare them from humping away. And, well, they get the camera taken away. The camera is then taken away to where they decide, the eldests decide that they want to get a little revenge on the rambunctious group of riffraffs. So they strap the camera to the dog. And the dog proceeds to go into the living room, where apparently one of the group of youngsters is tugging away at himself in the middle of the living room, surrounded by his friends with the lights on. Doesn't make any sense. Oh, yeah, TV at full volume, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make any sense, but okay. Mind you, folks, there's so much, like, bad language, and I don't mean just cussing, like, actual, like, slurs and everything being dropped here, like derogatory terms and everything, because apparently this is how everybody talks. But I digress. But upon further altercation, a flashing light is shown on the outside, and it is followed by a very loud boom. They are not quite sure what the hell it was. They just know that it is something very, very strange. Upon asking for where their father keeps their guns, we see a flickering image of a tall, gray, putty-looking son of a bitch in the window. It was then that the elder sister decided to lock the door now, for some reason. This further dominoes into a situation of where aliens begin to rush the house, grabbing one of the kids, and it's just a lot of shaky cam. You're seeing this all from the perspective of the dog. The dog is being picked up whenever it can. It's also running. Just everybody's getting abducted left and right, and it's down to the sister and the little brother and the dog. The aliens capture her. The little brother holds on to the dog as best as he can, trying to hide, and is then sucked up into the air by one of the tractor beams. And we see him leave the ground all the way up to a high altitude to where they finally finish abducting the child. However, and in one of the most unnecessary fucking things in the world, just to show you how much they don't really care, the dog drops to its not death, its suffering, where it whimpers and stares right into the camera that has fallen out of its grasp and proceeds to die slowly, and the footage fades. The end.
Dino, what did you think of Slumber Party Alien Abduction, since you just got through it all?
I did not care for it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was very loud and annoying. You can tell things were thrown in there for shock value. And the ending was very much just, you know, I don't like seeing animals get fucked up in films. I don't care how fake it looks or how real it was.
I agree.
I'm just like, okay, that was unnecessary. And everybody just sucked in this segment. And then finding out later that they made a fucking feature out of this one.
Yeah, that one, that's so crazy to me.
And it's a dog shit movie too, by the way.
Yeah, for sure.
So I give this one a fucking 2.
A 2? Wow, okay.
Ooh. Yeah. It's just, any type of camera trick or anything else that you're doing, yeah, that's fine and dandy, but like, it just all, it's literally feeling like you're just working to that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that's definitely what this segment did, while in the movie, which isn't even more than an hour, feels like it's 2 fucking hours, because they're trying to fill it in. They did not know what they were doing. So I give it a fucking 2.
I don't know. I share the sentiment that it's kind of, there's just not much substance here. It's like a teen summer movie at the beginning, and then it just turns weird. And then the dialogue. The dialogue sucks. I'm not really into like the whole alien thing. I don't know. It felt very uninspired. And then killing the dog, completely unnecessary. Like, you didn't have to do that. But I don't know. It felt like they got to the end of it and they're like, oh, we got to have some sort of like shock to shock value to add to this at the
kill
end.
Kill a kid.
By killing the dog. Yeah, kill a kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I also did not care for it. I also gave it a low score. I gave it a 4. I just don't think it's I don't think it's very good, and I cannot believe that, like Dino said, I cannot believe they made a full-length film out of this one, because it's so crazy to me. Justin.
No, let Melee go next.
Okay, Melee.
No, go Justin, go next.
Okay, Justin.
Oh, dude, Melee and I both have high scores, I guess. I don't like this segment. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's similar to Ride in the Park and Clinical Trials in the sense that, like, I don't find anything apart from the dog fucking dying, which for sure knocks a decent amount of points off of it by default. But I don't find anything necessarily, like, too bad about it. Like, yeah, dialogue's not that good, but they're fucking kids. So, like, it's a VHS segment, so, like, not many, VHS segments, like, how am I trying to word this? How am I trying to describe this? They're not, I mean, they can't all be winners, but there are a significant amount of them where they're not losers either. There's just such a significant amount of the VHS segments that are just middle of the pack. And I think this, with the, like, apart from Safe Haven on this film, falls into just that middling of the pack or higher up middling of the pack of these movies. It is cool to see, like, gray aliens actually show up and be actually threatening. It's not every time that we do alien movies where it's just, you know, actually that type of alien that's going to appear, as opposed to, like, you know, we have the xenomorphs, we have Predator, we have different things like that, but we don't normally see, like, cliche South Park fucking gray aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very least, the aliens are interesting. I don't think it's great. I do think that it's probably worse than literally everything else in this movie. I do not think that they needed to make a feature of this. I do not think that the dog needed to die. And the question I have for the two people who did actually review this before me is, do you think that the movie would have worked better if they did not have this as the last VHS segment?
Yes.
Because I agree, there's no reason why whatever the fuck this was should have followed up Safe Haven.
Yeah. Especially. I don't know if putting it earlier would have made me like it more. I don't think its placement.
I think it would have fixed some issues.
I really don't think its placement is playing that big of a role in how much I disliked it. I just simply just don't like it.
I think it would have fixed, like, some issues, just a slight amount. I'm not saying that, you know, maybe a point. I'm not saying that it's, like, guaranteed, but I just think that making this the last segment of a film where Safe Haven happens in the middle of it,
mm-hmm.
insane. Not happening. Yeah, so this is a 6.
Okay.
Mm.
Melee.
Oh, that's my name.
Mm-hmm.
This may be a hot take. This is my second favorite.
That's crazy.
The whole segments. Yes, I know. But let the illegal talk this time, okay?
It's my of turn. This movie or of both of
this movie?
Oh, okay.
Of this movie, yeah. You know, I like the run-of-the-mill segments from the early ones. I obviously, not everyone was going to be into the dialogue of how this one did. I mean, it's not my favorite either. Or even some of the moments, like that kid, you know, doing his thing, like, kind of crazy, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like watching a James Gunn movie, where it's kind of very crude, and it's not going to be to everyone's taste. But I can almost ignore it because I love the premise of, you know, bringing the gray aliens back, because, you know, it's my favorite thing from the last film, those aliens, you know, because everyone focuses on like paranormal and stuff and ghosts. So it was cool seeing aliens get a bit of a spotlight here. So it was also cool seeing it return here. And I don't know, maybe the story is not like the greatest or anything, but I kind of more focus on how it was filmed. Like I like the structure of it, I guess. The way they use the sounds to make the aliens menacing, by, you know, doing the big blah 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 blah, blah like that. And I don't know, for me, the aliens, even though they look like costumes, they look creepy to me. And obviously unnecessary, you know, animal death, but I don't know. For me, it's weird to say, this is like the Halloween 5 for me of this VHS. So I don't know. For whatever reason, I have a soft spot for this, you know, minus the story and the dialogue. I mean, they're teenagers, so I can ignore, or like, I can tune it out because I know, yeah, they're just teenagers. They're being stupid. So I can not forgive it, but I can understand how they behave, because it seems, in a way, it seems realistic. Not because I like it, but I just think that some kids are just stupid like that. So I can see it happening. So I kind of focus more on the technical aspects of it. And for me, that's why it's my second favorite from this one. So I'll probably give it an 8 out of 10,
yeah,
which is crazy.
I think like you said, Halloween 5, your big thing with liking Halloween 5 so much was the Cinnamon Toast Crunch of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm picking up a pattern that cinematography can outweigh a lot of the bad when it comes to things.
Mm-hmm.
And I can respect it. And I will say, like, it did have good cinematography. Like, I can't say it didn't. I just don't think it had anything else to back that up, is where it kind of fell short with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we move on to our final installment. VHS 2 ends on the wraparound this time, as we get back to tape 49. Larry watches the laptop footage where Kyle explains that he and his mother want to make their own tape. Kyle then shoots himself in an on-camera suicide attempt, but survives with his lower jaw shattered and his tongue all over the place. He runs off into the back of the house, and as we watch him run off, as soon as he disappears from frame, we see the flashlight of Larry and Aisha when they arrived to the house. Larry kind of freaks out and he tries to leave, but as he tries to leave, Aisha suddenly rises up and attacks him back from the dead, question mark. In self-defense, while Aisha is attacking him, Larry breaks her neck and rushes into the other room. This is where Aisha does the Bray Wyatt crawl throughout the fucking house, crazy style, and chases after him. Larry hides in a closet, and as Aisha comes through and peeks her head in the door, he shoots her in the head. Immediately after this, he hears a strange gurgling sound behind him. Larry then turns around and shines his flashlight, where he finds Kyle standing behind him the entire time, and Kyle strangles him to death. Kyle grabs the camera that Larry had and gives a thumbs up to the recording and uploads the tape to social media before turning off the camera and ending VHS2. And now we can talk about tape 49. Tape 49 starred Lawrence Michael Levine as Larry, Kelsey Abbott as Aisha, L.C. Holt as Kyle, Simon Barrett as Steve, and Mindy Robinson as Tabitha. Steve and Tabitha are, of course, the couple that were having sex in that motel room from the beginning, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Which I think I forgot to even mention that happened. But yeah, that happened at like the very
beginning. Sure did happen.
So yeah, let's talk about tape 49. I thought it was fucking sweet. Great continuation of the wraparound story from the first film, which was titled Tape 56. It directly leads into the events of Tape 49 and VHS 2, which I think is a very cool premise to have your wraparound story be a continuation from the first. the Kyle like lurking around in the background throughout as we jump back and forth was very fucking cool. Very creepy. Made me very very paranoid while I sit in my house by myself in the complete darkness. And it did another one of those things that Dino and I talked about when we watched Smile, the first Smile, with mm-hmm. the dark empty spaces. There's a lot of that in the background of this one. Really freaked me the fuck out, and they did a great job with that, I thought. Really knocked this one out of the park, and I genuinely, honest to God, I have to give this a 10, because I think they did such a great job with it. Wow. Justin?
Yeah, so if you listen to the VHS 1 podcast, I said something about me not caring about the wraparound segments too much, and then cut to VHS 2, where I give it a 10. I'm giving it a 10. Because, like, this wraparound is coherent, concise, it makes a lot of sense. There is something from one of the reviews that I'm going to get into that is a little kind of like plot annoying, which is why didn't they hear Kyle shoot himself before they walked in? Which, like, there's a number of things that could have gone with that, like, as to why they didn't hear him. So I don't give a fuck. 10.
I mean, they were breaking into the house around the same time that he would have shot himself, so, like, that's
right.
That's an explanation right there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think that that's a good explanation or a good critique. But I wanted to throw it out there.
I can get where they're...
It sounds like something's in there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can get where they're coming from, but like Dino just said, Aisha said, or like said that it sounds like there's something in there. And again, they were also breaking into the house, like making a lot of fucking noise. They could have just written it off as another noise. Like, I know that's crazy to say, but like, people are fucking stupid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dino, what did you think of Tate 49?
Honestly, like, I'm really thinking back to when I first saw this movie, because, you know, it's very much at this point in modern time, it's a standard wraparound. But at the time that I watched this, I was very much in the same boat as you. I was creeped out. I watched this alone at home, and it very much creeped me out. Also, I'm a fan of Simon Barrett's work. The Guest is one of my favorite movies of all time. There were elements of the Blair Witch movie that I liked. Not all of it, but, you know, some of it was there. But I appreciated the creepiness of it, and I do like the fact that they connected it as well, a premise that they sadly abandoned. But, you know, I get it. But at the same time, like, this was nice to see someone actually make an effort to connect it. And so for that, I'm actually going to give it an 8.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also, Melee, I don't know if we brought this up on the last one or not. I don't remember. Simon Barrett wrote Godzilla Kong New Empire.
He's got hit or miss, folks. Mm.
And so there's Adam Wingard, so I have issues with him.
Mm-hmm. They work together.
Mm-hmm.
Melee, your thoughts on Tate 49?
Mm-hmm. So Godzilla and Kong.
No.
Should have waited for it to give his review first.
That's a different podcast.
Are you right? That's the three from... I don't know. Fuck. Three from Kaijus.
Three from Skull Island.
Mm-hmm. It feels like there were so many issues with the wraparound of the first movie. This one is basically pick the best parts of that, what made it work, and then just make that for this one. And that's pretty much what they did. You know, as of everyone else here, like, you know, the big empty spaces, dark rooms always scares me. Even when I have like a tiny New York ass apartment, even like those tiny corners where you can't really see much, you never know what could be there. And I feel like they use that effectively here. Seemed like the guy with his just walking around, very scary. And, you know, white woman bleeding also is very scary. And I kind of like that, you know, it was a nice way to I guess, continue from the first one, but I still felt very much like its own. It's not like it was like repeating stuff from the first one. It was pretty much his own little story, but it still has continuity with the other one, so it felt cohesive. So I had to give that a 9 out of 10.
Okay. Well, I'm going to add up everyone's scores while Justin runs us through what the people think about VHS 2.
All right, VHS 2 has a top critic score of 55% and an all critic score of 70% and an all audience score of 53%. So middling of the pack reviews for VHS 2 yet again. Starting with some critics, we've got less is not necessarily more in this slimmed down collection. There's only so much shaky cam and shrieking a person can stomach in one go. Don't watch fucking found footage then, asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Me when I get what I paid for. this is the craziest one that I found critic-wise, because I already have the audience reviews written down. Which is, none of the pieces is terribly original in concept. The performances are mostly as shaky as the camera work, and the connecting thread is stretched pretty thin. Huh?
Okay.
I can't believe that someone said that about a movie that includes Safe Haven in it. VHS is likely to be as popular with fans as its predecessor. It certainly earns that right. For 30 screaming mad minutes, VHS 2 achieves a kind of fever pitch of nightmare hysteria. Yeah, I can only imagine what you're talking about.
Mm.
There isn't a scare to be found. Huh?
Me when I'm a tough guy.
Bloodier, more intense, and on the whole, more effective than its predecessor. So, that's the critics' reviews. Let's see what the audience says. So, I'm going to bounce around here. I'm going to start with the review that I kind of already spoiled earlier, which is 4 stars. VHS 2 is a huge improvement compared to the first one, with faster paced segments, more gore, actually interesting segments, and points during the movie. All the segments are solid in their own ways, but confusing storylines, weird characters still written, and how Larry and his girlfriend didn't hear Kyle shoot himself makes the movie a little annoying sometimes.
Womp.
8 out of 10.
Me.
So I just wanted to throw that one out there. That's one of the reviews. Let's see. Creepshow for a New Generation, 3 stars.
Okay, interesting.
2 stars. Disappointing. It's okay for what it is, but the majority of the shorts are just stupid.
Okay.
This is the worst movie in the Halloween franchise.
Yeah, let them know.
I already know what review I'm ending with in the 5-star. So, 5 stars. I love each and every short in this film. This film is every bit as effective as the first, and honestly more so. The gore is also orgasmic. A. Great A.
Cool.
all caps, 4 stars. Better than the original film, IMO! Exclamation point.
I mean...
It's a little hard to say that.
Yeah, I mean, there are things they did better in this one, but as a whole, I would not say it's...
The Wraparound and Safe Haven are, by themselves, like, definitely are better than the first one, but, like, everything else about the first one is better than this.
Yeah.
1 star, slightly better than the first one, but still quite silly.
What the fuck do you think is gonna happen?
I like this review a lot.
Question the dipshits who fucking rate things like this. Like, did you think Skinamarink was fucking terrifying? Is that why you think that this is silly?
I like this review a lot because it's not like super derogatory. It's just like it's silly.
Yeah.
What the fuck did you think was gonna be there? Like,
3 stars, much better than his predecessor. 4 stars, 80% on my tomato meter.
Okay. Thank you.
Also, here's a crazy one. 4 stars. I'd say skip the first film and watch this. Better.
That's crazy. That does no.
Four stars. The second compilation in the VHS series continues the same storyline from the original. Pretty fun, but some of the storylines, or excuse me, stories feel quite familiar. It's a good sequel.
Uh-huh.
Five stars. This movie has very memorable parts that soak in your head. It's actually a good sequel. Personally, I think it's underrated and should be watched more. There is a mysterious atmosphere throughout the movie, and the ending is a nice twist.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
One star. No, not another one. Wait, why did I watch this?
As long as they're
yeah, at least just self-aware about it.
Yeah.
One star. Actors make terrible decisions and plot makes no sense. One star for the nonsensical gore.
Dude, again with this shit. What are you talking about?
One star. What is it with found footage movies and 100% totally unlikable characters played by actors who only know how to overreact? Aside from a few moments, gore that... Okay, this is exactly how it's written. Aside from a few moments, gore that are interesting, this movie will kill brain cells. It's just... an ugly, cruel film.
Let me circle back to the unlikable characters thing. Have you met people?
Real.
People fucking suck, dude. Like, this idea that we have to have a hero in every movie is so fucking unrealistic because people fucking suck.
Kevin the Woods.
Yeah. Come back to me messaging Sam when I was watching Creep for the first time. Am I supposed to like the main character?
Real, yeah. Like... people fucking suck. Yeah, that
dog is overacting.
Yeah, let me know.
So we're going to do the final two. It's the half-star review and the last five-star review.
Okay.
So half-star. More assholes, more guts and demons, nothing scary.
More guts and demons.
More assholes.
I mean,
more
I guess... assholes.
I don't know if they were talking about people or actual assholes.
I guess you could consider, like... Amateur Night, like, I guess you could
they were
look
assholes.
At her as a demon. Yeah, I mean, they were definitely assholes, but...
And the siren is also a demon, I guess?
Sure, but, like, outside of that, what demons were in the first one?
I guess they thought that she was a demon.
Yeah, I mean, that's about all I could say,
the,
but, like...
the house thing at the end.
Yeah.
There's one demon in this. So there's been three demons total.
Yeah.
I guess.
Is that a lot of demons? I don't know.
I don't know. Four hours of content, blow three me. Demons?
How's that sound? Blow me.
And last but not least, five stars. That's a good movie, four periods.
A good movie. Very good movie.
Sans burner.
Yeah.
Good. I found that review and I was like so excited.
That's a good movie. So yeah, so here are how our scores worked out. And again, these are all the scores from the shorts that we rated. And then I ran it through our special Three from Hell algorithm to get our to get our average score to rate the movie. I ended up with an 8.5 for VHS 2. Justin with an 8.4. Melee edged Justin and got an 8.44. Dino ended up with a 7.22. The alien one really fucked his score up crazy.
Real.
Bringing it out to a total average score of 8.14, which does put it below the original VHS, which was an 8.9.
Mm.
So yeah, we are... two films into the first trilogy of the VHS franchise, and
we're sorry.
Next week is
we're sorry.
I don't think we're gonna get. I don't think anyone's gonna hear much praise. Like you've heard from the first two films, I don't think you're gonna get that on the next one. Mm-hmm. Spoiler: I'll go ahead and say it now. VHS Viral almost completely killed the franchise.
Yes, it did.
It almost did not return. After Viral. And that's all I'm going to say, because I don't want to think about it. It's heartbreaking for me because I love this franchise, but
I think a good way to describe these first two films, I think VHS 1 had a lot more consistency and VHS 2 had higher highs, but then lower lows. Mm-hmm. So that's why there's a bit of discrepancy between the two.
Yeah.
I think one of the other reasons why I think I like the Aliens one is because in a way it's almost like the antithesis of the Safe Haven. Because I think Safe Haven is extremely well produced. Like, everything just hits perfectly. But I kind of like the way how the Alien ones almost feels like a bit like an actual fan film. Like, you know, just kids filming it for their own self-enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like it from that perspective. So that's why I kind of like that one.
I mean, I can
almost
get that.
As much. Yeah, yeah. Not perfect, but... It's not perfect, but it kind of like adds to it in a way. It feeds the amateur in the found footage thing. That's how I see it.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get where you're coming from. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It didn't hit for me.
White.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whatever. Kill yourself. So yeah, that's gonna do it for VHS 2 this week. We will see you next week with VHS Viral.
Greatest entry in the franchise. I'm calling it right now.
All right. Well,
next time.
I think Dino may have a brain injury. I'm gonna hit my normal spiel real quick. As always, give us a follow on Spotify and Apple Podcast, and leave us a review, please. Go buy the merch on our Fourth Wall site. The link is in the description below. Subscribe to the Patreon for $1 a month at patreon.com/youdamnright, and you can watch the movies with us and get our live reactions and all the other stupid fucking bits that we end up doing while we're watching the movie. Jeez. I don't have anything else to add. Would anyone else like to add anything before we get out of here?
What song are we putting at the end?
Don't know. I haven't figured that out yet. Maybe nothing.
The Enter Shock Your Eye song. I just had a fucking stroke. Help.
Help. For a second.
Help. Help. I practiced it in my head and then I still had a stroke.
Oh, man.
Put Big Al's theme song.
Yeah, you're right.
No.
All right. Well, for myself, for Justin, for Melee, for Dino, for Stinky Pete, from Al's Toy Barn, we are the Three from Hell plus Toy Story 2. We miss you, Tony. Love you. Good night. Bye.
Bye.
See you soon.